Welcome to God and Country Radio, a program that discusses current events in the life of Scripture. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Lawrence Harbor, New Jersey. This week's program is a continuation of the program I did a couple weeks ago entitled The False Religion of Wokeism, which was all about explaining the current ideology of leftism, the belief in LGBTQ behavior, that gender is fluid, that racism is behind all social ills, that Western values are oppressive, that the answer is socialism and big government and forced equality of outcomes. And this is more than simply politics. This is a religion, like Marxism is a religion. It became the religion of Russia and China and North Korea and many other Eastern European countries. It has its scriptures, it has its doctrines, it has its prophets, it has its anthropology, its soteriology, its eschatology, which are all the polar opposites of Christian doctrine. If the Bible says man is a sinner, leftism says man is basically good. If the Bible says Christ is the Savior, leftism says man is the Savior. Wokeism is an attack on Christianity. It is everything that the Bible teaches about false religion. And of course, wokeism calls Christianity false religion. We are in a culture war, but also, in every sense, we are in a religious war. The title for today's program is Christianity versus Wokeism. Who wins? Well, of course, Christ wins. But in the short term, how much will wokeism appear to win? In Russia, at the beginning of the 20th century, the people rejected Christianity, and communism, wokeism, took over the institutions of education and government for 70 years before collapsing. It was called Marxism, but it contained all the elements of current-day wokeism in America. In fact, Mark Levin is coming out with a book entitled American Marxism, which explains that what is happening in our country is the American form of Soviet 20th century Marxism. The political left in America is resurrecting all of the ideological elements of the Communist Manifesto. So, will Marxism, wokeism, succeed in America? Are we going into the dark ages for the next 70 years or more? And this raises many questions. How powerful and pervasive are the leftists in America? Is there a strong enough conservative base in America to stop them? Will this result in a stalemate, a social division in America? Or is one side strong enough to defeat the other side? Will this be a civil war? The breakup of one nation under God? Will the Christian community conquer kingdoms, as in Hebrews 11:33? Or will we be the others in Hebrews 11:36 who experience chains and imprisonment? And there's also the question, how does all this fit into biblical prophecy? There are many questions and much scripture to discuss here. But just to get us thinking, let me begin with some stories about the pervasiveness of wokeism in America. First story, Virginia teacher placed on leave after speech disputing biological boy can be a girl and vice versa. Quote, an elementary school physical education teacher in Virginia was placed on leave after an explosive speech in which he told his school board he wouldn't affirm that a biological boy can be a girl and vice versa. Quote, my name is Tanner Cross. I am speaking out of love for those who are suffering from gender dysphoria, Cross told the board. He went on to discuss the recent 60-minute special about the issue. This past Sunday, 60 Minutes interviewed over 30 young people who transitioned, but they felt led astray because of a lack of pushback and how easy it was to make physical changes to their body. Now they're detransitioning, and it's interesting that 60 Minutes ran this piece because it shows that the pushback on gender bending is having an effect. Well, this teacher in Virginia went on to say, I love all my students, but I will never lie to them regardless of the consequences. I'm a teacher, but I serve God first, and I will not affirm that a biological boy can be a girl and vice versa because it's against my religion. It's lying to a child. It's abuse to a child, and it's a sin against our God. The school has put this teacher on administrative leave, and he will be fired. Because the policy of the Department of Education in Virginia, passed by the legislators, is for teachers to affirm transgender students and their pronouns. Homosexual lobby groups get legislators to pass these rulings, and now we're seeing the expected results when they're implemented. Not all teachers will submit to this movement to erase gender. So the pushback has started. It's late in coming, but it's coming on strong. But still, it really is disheartening that our current culture is such that this teacher can be fired for refusing to call a boy a girl. In the words of Orwell, in a time of universal deceit, telling the truth is an act of treason. And in the better words of the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah 59:15, yes, truth is lacking, and he who turns aside from evil makes himself a prey. You get fired. And that's a sign that the culture is sick. Because in the previous generation, a teacher would be fired for saying that a boy can be a girl. And rightfully so. Remember, it's not cancel culture we're against. A healthy society should be morally offended by pedophiles and rapists and drag queens. The culture of Sodom should be canceled. Righteousness is not a libertarian equality between evil and good. Another story. The newspaper USA Today has changed the phrase boys and girls sports to transgenders in girls sports because the use of the term boy would be offensive to the transgender community. The term boy is considered hurtful language because these boys do not consider themselves boys. In fact, they're probably also offended by the term transgender because they believe they should be called girls. But here's a major American newspaper with educated writers and administrators agreeing with the ideology of transgenderism. This ideology is thoroughly ensconced in Hollywood, in the media, in universities, in government. Another story. Teacher unions and educational officials push woke leftist policies in schools across the United States. And the story gives a number of examples, but the main example is President Joe Biden's new education secretary, Miguel Cardona, who wrote just last year, "We need teachers behind this wave of our curriculum becoming more woke," which includes the teaching of critical race theory, transgenderism, socialism, and the ending of male-centric language. What a difference between this new Secretary of Education and the Christian Secretary of Education under Trump, Betsy DeVos. Here's another story. Professor Glenn Bracey at Villanova was caught in a video telling faculty they need to push critical race theory to build the Church of Marxism. You know, if you investigate what these woke leftists are all about, it's not as subtle as you think. They are full-fledged atheistic, humanistic, communists. Wokeism is the religion of the homosexuals and the abortionists. So I could share hundreds of articles concerning the onslaught of wokeism in our culture, but now let's talk about the pushback. Over the last month, I've noticed hundreds of anti-woke news pieces on Fox News, both editorials and real stories of citizens pushing back. In the same county in Virginia, the county that fired that teacher for refusing to call boys girls, a Virginia parent group launched a political action committee to unseat school board members who are pushing critical race theory. They're trying to do what was done in Southlake, Texas last week, where parents unseated all of the woke school board members. Another article about the same school district in Virginia. Virginia teacher says critical race theory has damaged community as frustrated parents demand changes. Loudoun County has been entrenched in a month-long battle over school reopenings and equity training. Quote, an advanced placement government teacher in Loudoun County, Virginia, is speaking out about what she calls Marxist ideas that have prompted intense infighting among county residents. We're told that we're living in a country that is suffering from systemic racism. And I think that that whole notion has done nothing but to damage our community and our school since they began pushing equity. She adds that the teachers were told to disrupt and dismantle this systemic racism. And I can tell you one thing for sure. It has been disruptive because there are parents who disagree with this ideology. There are teachers who disagree with it. There are students who disagree with it. And it is harmful. So Americans are not taking wokeism sitting down. People are rising up. Another news story. The state of Tennessee bans teaching critical race theory in all of its schools. The governor says students should learn the exceptionalism of our nation, not things that inherently divide people. Another story, critical race theory and the 1619 Project banned on the spot in Cherokee County, Georgia. And this news story, on May 22nd, the Texas Senate passed a bill that prohibits schools from mandating the teaching of critical race theory in the classrooms. This story, Congressman Crenshaw and Senator Tom Cotton launched a whistleblower website for members of the armed forces to voice opposition to woke ideology that's being pushed on the military. Quote, enough is enough. We won't let our military fall to woke ideology. Crenshaw, a former Navy SEAL, said in a Friday tweet, we have just launched a whistleblower webpage where you can submit your story. Your complaint will be legally protected and go to my office. Here's an NBC news story. Republicans are crusading against woke. Republicans looking to dent President Joe Biden and win back Congress next year, in part, by rousing a voting base animated by the culture war issues, having increasingly settled on a single word to describe what they're standing against. Woke. And this story, support for the LGBT critical race theory group, Black Lives Matter, has absolutely plummeted since last summer, despite the media's best efforts to prop up support. Support went from about 30% of the public down into the single digits, even into the negative range among Hispanics. Now, the reaction on the left to all of this pushback is also being reported. Here's an article. Democrat strategist James Carville realizes that wokeness is a problem for Democrats. But they're scared to call out wokeness as a problem because they're afraid they'll be canceled by their own radical Democrat supporters. Here's another article. Democrats are getting increasingly nervous about woke culture, analysts say. Now, is this reason to celebrate a victory over the left? Or is this pushback too little, too late? Hey, I'm a conservative. I tend to be pessimistic in the short term. I mean, yes, the Christian community is waking up. But without the support of social institutions, like the media and the universities and Hollywood and the government, can we succeed? I've said this many times before, and I'll say it again. There's plenty of sin in America 100 years ago. Prostitution, gambling, drunkenness, homosexuality. The only difference was that the leaders in society, in government, in education, were opposing the corruption with a Christian worldview in laws and morals. But today, social leaders are the lawless pagans. When the world enters the apocalypse and embraces the globalist, godless agenda of the Antichrist, there will be resistance in the grassroots. But it's the kings of the earth, the elites, those who control the institutions, that give their power and authority to the beast. Revelation 17:13. But there will be a persecuted minority. So this pushback is expected, but will it be victorious? We know that the Bible prophesizes that this age will end with an outbreak of evil, but there may be reprieves. Just like Americans rose up in the 20th century against progressivism and Marxism and communism and Nazism because the Christian base in America was strong. Despite all of these leftist movements in America, the conservative Christian movement is strong. We have media outlets. We have great spokesmen. Just think about all of the Christian conservative statesmen. Ted Cruz, Tom Cotton, Crenshaw, Marco Rubio, Pompeo, Pence, Rand Paul. And there are 53 members in the House Freedom Caucus. And think about all of the Christians working to fix and expose the election fraud. And think of all of the conservative media outlets, Grabian, PJ Media, Town Hall, Breitbart, Daily Wire, Town Hall, OAN, Epic Times, Gateway Pundit, Newsmax, and even Fox News. And the list of websites and pundits goes on and on. Conservatives in Europe only wish they could have what we have here in America. Now, all this is not overtly Christian, but much is. And it's a whole lot better than Ezekiel's situation. Ezekiel 22:30, I searched for a man among them who would build up the wall and stand in the gap before me for the land, so I would not destroy it, but I found none. Or Jeremiah's situation, where God tells Jeremiah, roam to and fro throughout the streets of Jerusalem, and look now and take note, and seek in her open square, if you can find one man. If there is just one who does justice, who seeks truth, then I will pardon her. You know, this whole thing can be illustrated with the analogy of a disease or an infection. In fact, the Bible often uses disease as an illustration of sin. The infection enters the body. And if the body is healthy enough, it can fight off the infection and win. Now, the body might get a fever and have other symptoms, just like a country can experience the effects of false teaching and religion, wokeism. But eventually, if the body's healthy, it can put down the disease until the next virus or false teaching comes along. Will we kill this present virus? Is victory guaranteed if Christians rise up and attack the infection? Yes, but not at the end of life or at the end of this age. The virus wins so that there may be the ultimate solution, the resurrection. I came across this interesting text I had never seen before. 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 14. When Elijah became sick with the illness of which he was to die, there came a point in Elijah's life where he would not be healed. There would be no revival, but the disease would kill the body. And the same holds true for the whole church and the world before the coming of the Lord and the resurrection. But for now, we fight off the disease. The godly resistance is having an effect, not by our own power, but by the power of God's truth. And that's the medicine. I've been reading Ron Dreher's book, Live Not by Lies. And in it, he has a chapter about having the courage to speak the truth when the culture wants to silence you. And the only way we win is by speaking the truth. One word of truth outweighs the whole world. And this is why the left wants to literally silence all conservative voices. Because anyone standing for truth overturns the entire false system that the left wants to set up. And Dreher tells the illustration from Havel, the Czech writer who eventually became the post-communist president of Czechoslovakia. He told the story of the grocer who puts a sign in his window, "Workers of the world unite." He doesn't believe in it, but he conforms to the communists to maintain his business. But quote, "Let's now imagine that one day something in the grocer snaps and he stops putting up the slogans merely to ingratiate himself. He stops voting in elections that he knows are a farce. He begins to say what he really thinks at political meetings. And he even finds the strength in himself to express solidarity with those whom his conscience commands him to support. In this revolt, the grocer steps out of living within the law. He rejects the ritual and breaks the rules of the game. He discovers once more his suppressed identity and dignity. He gives his freedom a concrete significance. His revolt is an attempt to live within the truth. This costs him. He loses his shop. He won't be able to travel. Maybe his children won't be able to go to college. The community persecutes him. Not necessarily because they oppose his stance, but because they know that this is what they have to do to keep the authorities off of their back. But by breaking the rules of the game, the grocer has disrupted the game as such. He has exposed it as a mere game. He has shattered the world of appearances, the fundamental pillars of the system. He has upset the power structures by tearing apart what holds it together. He has demonstrated that living a lie is living a lie. He has said that the emperor is naked. By his actions, the grocer has addressed the world. He has enabled everyone to peer behind the curtain. He has shown everyone that it's possible to live within the truth. Living within the lie can constitute the system only if it's universal. The principle must embrace and permeate everything. There are no terms whatsoever on which it can coexist with living within the truth. And therefore, everyone who steps out of line denies it in principle and threatens it entirely. What the green grocer has done is a small act of rebellion that may act as a spark of revolution that saves liberty and humanity. Unquote. Well, that's a good reminder that evil is always ready to take over a nation, a community, a church, a family. It's only when people put God's truth first, speak up, and are willing to pay the price that evil's defeated. The communist Bolsheviks in Russia were less than 5% of the population. But the other 90% of the population abandoned God and they put their comforts above his truth and they paid a terrible price. 70 years of slavery and gulags. Another piece that has come across my desk this week is the testimony of Sophie Scholl. She was part of the White Rose anti-Nazi resistance movement in Germany. At age 21, she was put to death by the Nazis in 1943. So before her death, Sophie Scholl said the real damage is done by those millions who just want to survive. The honest man who just wants to be left in peace. Those who don't want their little lives disturbed by anything bigger than themselves. If you don't make any noise, the boogeyman won't find you. But it's all a silly illusion, because they die too. Those people who roll up their spirits into a tiny little ball so as to be safe. Safe from what? Life is always on the edge of death. And a little candle burns itself out just like a flaming torch does. Sophie Scholl, 1943. So I end on this point. Stand up and fight the false religion of wokeism. Stand up for the truth. Stand up for Christ. You've been listening to God and Country Radio. The extended YouTube version of this program is on my YouTube channel, God and Country Biblical Exposition. There I have many more thoughts on the subject that I'd like to share. The website for all of these links to the YouTube channel, to the audio, to the transcript is godandcountryradio.org. Thank you for listening today. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, the victory is not if enough of us stand up to speak. The victory is your power to save and transform repentant sinners. May there be a great harvest of souls for you and that victory you're soon to bring about. In the name of our Savior, we pray. Amen.